And Lord, your love is truly amazing. You, Lord, are truly amazing. And it is amazing what you have done for us. And the gift of salvation that you offer us, Father, in the face of undeservedness, Lord, you provided a sacrifice so our sin could be forgiven. So, Lord, we stand in awe of who you are and of what you've done. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as I think about tonight and I think about what God has done, it makes me think a couple things. One, you know, it does make me think what a horrible sinner that I have been. And then I watch the video and think, and an idiot to boot, you know. I appreciate it. And I think about what Jesus has done. I want to ask you a question tonight. Who was it for you? Who was it for you? You know, the whole idea of Jesus coming and saving us to the glory of God is so that you and I give the rest of this earthly life to serve Him and allow Him to use us to touch other people's lives. And so I ask you, who was it for you? Because God sent somebody to you and they were faithful and they were obedient and they were there. They went. The founder of the Navigators is a guy named Dawson Trotman. And if you've ever heard of Navigators, it's an incredible discipling ministry. If you haven't heard of it, I mean, the whole idea is believers coming alongside new believers, sharing the gospel with those who've not believed. And it's a phenomenal ministry. And Dawson Trotman's life, you know, it was more than he just started a program. He just started discipling people. And what was born out of it was what people observed in his life as he came alongside of people. And I can't remember the year. I want to say it was 1956. Time magazine had an article about Dawson Trotman. You know what the name of the article was? Always Holding Someone Up. Always Holding Someone Up. Now, you know why that title's so phenomenal? Because they wrote that article after Dawson Trotman died. And he died, I believe it was in a lake. And two people were having trouble and they were yelling, and Dawson Trotman swam out to them. And one person was saved, and the other one, Dawson Trotman just held him up until somebody got there. And when they got there and got that person, nobody saw Dawson Trotman again. That was his life. Always holding someone up. I mean, it's powerful. What would they say of you? What would they say of me? And I come back to that question. So who was it for you? John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another." Now that doesn't blow us away. We're at church. It's Wednesday night. You expect to hear somebody get up and say, "We need to love one another." And we all hear that. We shake our heads, say amen. Yes, that's good. That's a good thing. But do you understand what it's talking about? I mean, look at the comparison that John is making as he writes, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Love comes from God. So I get my son this gigantic candy bar and he's all excited, and we get home. I said, "Now I want you to share that with your brothers and sisters." And he says, "No." And I said, you're going to share the candy bar. And Will says, "Why?" One thing I always do with my kids is whenever I ask them to do something, they say no or yes. I always say, "Give me three reasons why." And I told Will, "You're going to share this candy bar." And he said, "Dad, give me three reasons why I should share this candy bar." The first was, because technically it's not yours, I bought it. Because you know the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. Number two, I don't remember the other two. They don't matter. The point of this is this. If he had bought that candy bar with his money, it would have been hard for me to get him to share it. And he should share it, even if he bought it with his own money. But here's the truth of that situation. It wasn't his candy bar. I bought it for him. And I wanted him to share it. And I told him, "You're going to share it because it's not yours. Somebody awesome gave you that candy bar." I know how to do it, don't I? Somebody gave you that candy bar and you're going to give some of it to your brothers and sisters. Dear friends, I love how John says that. I love when he says friends. Anybody have a friend that calls you friend, like that by title? Hey, friend. I know it's weird, but there's something about it that just kind of is cozy. Hey, friend, or that you have a friend. John writes, dear friends, let us love one another. We've heard that 1,000 times. I want to say, and I could be totally wrong, that love one another is written about 151 times in the New Testament. Love one another. Y'all know you're supposed to love one another? Raise your hand if you know that. Okay. All right, that's good. We're supposed to love one another. Dear friends, let's love one another. For love comes from God. So God, why should I love people? Because technically the love you have isn't yours. It was given to you. And it was given to you for a reason and for a purpose. I gave my son, I got him one gigantic candy bar because I couldn't afford to get 4 candy bars. Are you with me? When you have 4 kids, I mean, you go to McDonald's and get everybody $1 cheeseburger, $1 fries, $1. I don't get them Coke. Only I get the Coke. You know, and it's a lot. And so, you know, I got him that big candy bar with the intent that he would share it with his brothers and sisters. I want to tell you something, friends. God has loved us and poured out his love upon us, and he's called us to love others. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because the Bible tells us God is love. That was weak. Because God is... Oh, that was powerful. It would have blown my wig off about a word. God is love. And this is hard to kind of wrap your head around, but love isn't something that God does. Love is something that God is. And so when he says that you have this love that you should give, this doesn't, it's not a sentiment. But if you're a follower of Jesus, literally you have love inside of you because Jesus is there. And then he's telling us, so love one another. It's the most intimate thing that you can do is to love one another. Somebody argued and said, no, sex is the most intimate thing you can do. No, it's not. Because you don't have to love for that. There doesn't have to be emotion for that. But he's telling us, love one another. That we should do that because love is from God. And God gives that love with the intent that you and I would share that love with others. This is how, he writes in verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God. Did you hear that? Not that we have loved God. I mean, we can't run around and boast on how great God feels because we have loved him. This isn't the issue. With this kind of a love. He says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. If the only thing that happened was that you loved God, you would go to hell. God must love you. And he demonstrated his love, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That God has done this. I knew we were going to show the video. I knew we'd be a little pressed for time. And so I just wanted to share this simple truth with you. Just as I gave my son that candy bar with the expectation that he would share it with others, so has God loved you with the intent that you would share that with others. I'm going to skip to verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. Y'all, this is one of the most profound truths, that God first loved us. I mean, I would hope that would just bring to light the song we're singing, that Lord, you are amazing. That he loved us first. That he did that. And if that doesn't blow you away, it may be because you think too highly of yourself. He loved us first. Before we said, well, I'm going to stop doing this and stop doing this and stop doing this, right? Before that. Before we tried to start giving up on all of our addictions. Before we had an idea about trying to be a little bit better. Before all that. when I was running to hell as fast as I could go, He loved me. He loved me. And it is, if we can grasp it and understand it in its proper order. Because I meet people all the time who tell me, yeah, I'm going to come to God someday, but you know, right now I'm having fun, I'm doing my thing, but you know, I'm just going to turn around. A lot of young people say that. Hey, it's just time to sow my wild oats. Can I tell you, you've already sown enough wild oats that you deserve eternity in hell. The Bible teaches that. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Your biggest regret will be that you didn't give Him these years. Like if you're a young person, you didn't give Him these years where there wasn't a lot of wisdom, but there was a lot of energy. Right? And then you get to where I'm at with, you know, immense amounts of wisdom. Very, very little energy. And just wish, oh man, this is the time. This is the time. And this call, listen, He loved us first. I want you to know how incredible that is. The Bible says that several times. The writers remind us that God loved us first. You know why? It's a big deal that God loved us first. Because it speaks to several things. One, it speaks to intent. That God purposed to love you and to love me. That's a powerful thing. Second, it speaks to expectation. He loved us first, and that came with a grand scheme and a grand plan of how you and I would live our lives for Him. He loved us first. We love because He first loved us. Pastor Keith, I'm going to ask you to come. And this has been brief, because tonight I want us just to really, as I prayed, to stand in awe of what God has done. You know, the other day I went to some store, I don't remember, and as I was walking in, there was a guy sitting on the bench outside. And he looked disoriented. He looked like he was scared. And I don't know if you're a parent, I don't know if all parents ever feel this way. But as I watched him, you know, I thought about my kids. And I wondered if someday, man, life gets really hard and I'm not around anywhere. I wonder, who's going to love them? Who will be there for them? And I wondered about that guy. Who's going to love him? Who's going to love him? And I was at a restaurant and the waitress came up to the table and you could tell she was in a rush and she was a little scattered. And you could tell that she had been crying. And I wondered, who's going to love her? Who's going to love her? And you see people all the time, and you know, people that are hurting, and you look at the way our economy is and how people are suffering and struggling, and I wonder, who's going to love them? But I mean with that love that Jesus has placed inside of us, because His love was a sacrificial love. His love was a love that He gave of Himself to give to others. And I wonder, who's going to love them? Because this whole church thing, it's not just meant to take up a few hours out of the week, but following Jesus is a lifestyle. Dawson Trotman, always holding someone up. Who are you holding up? Who is it that you're there for? And some of you might say, man, I'm the one. I need somebody there for me right now. Well, that's half the problem. That somehow we look beyond or outside of our lives to say, God, how will you use me in somebody else's life? And I've said it a lot here on Wednesday night. The best way to lighten your burdens is to pick up somebody else's. Because I know no matter how tough it gets for me, I know somebody's got it way worse than I do. And if I can pray for them, or if I can seek them, or if I can reach out to them, it's amazing. But see, we're called the body of Christ. And He loved us first as a demonstration of the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make so that our sin could be forgiven. Because God could have just waited for us to come to Him. And guess what, church? It would have never happened. It would have never happened. And in those moments where I feel like I'm going to be a little bit better, and I'll just give my weakness and my example. You know, so that night that I'm sitting there and I'm watching TV, it's about midnight, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to eat anything. I'm not going to eat anything. I'm not going to eat anything. And I say that all the way to the cupboard. And then I say, I'm only going to eat three. I'm only going to eat three. I'm only going to eat three. And then like two boxes and a gallon of milk later, I'm like, God, I'm sorry. Never again. Never again. It would have never happened. I would have never went to him. Because I'd have always just said, okay, I'm only going to do it once. I'm only going to do it once. And then I'd have did it. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And then I'm only going to do it two more times. I'd have never went to him. I would have never went to him. And let me tell you, you would have never went to him. And so he loved us first. He loved us first. Me and my daughter, when I pray with her at night, I always tell her, I'll say, Molly, Daddy loves you way more than you love me. And she'll say, no, Daddy, I love you this much. And I always tell her, no, I love you because my heart's bigger than yours. And it's obvious when she looks at me that I'm bigger than she is. And so she's probably guessing, yeah, well, maybe you got a point there. I'm going to tell you something. His love is so much greater than ours. And he loved us first. I want to invite you to come to the altar tonight. And I want you to come with the thought of, who are you holding up? I want you to come with thankfulness that God has loved you first. Because you never would have went to him. You never would have gone to him. You never would have just stopped all the junk and went to him. He came to us. And he came to us. Listen, for many of us, he came to us in the form of some person who loved us. He came to us in the form of some person who was willing to overlook the junk in our lives. He came to us that way. And we experienced his love. Most of us, we experienced his love for the first time through some person who was willing to be there. Somebody who was willing to be there. Tommy Johnson is sitting over here. I don't mean to embarrass Tommy. Tommy was my campus minister in college. And you know, college was kind of screwed up time for a lot of people. And Tommy was one of those guys that God sent to me to love me, to overlook me. I mean, I just thought I was the stuff. And then when you find out you're not, your world crashes down. And Tommy was there. You know what? Tommy didn't give up on me because I thought so much of myself. He was going to love me. And he did that. He's one of those people that God sent to me. And so when I'm loving people and I'm trying to be what God wants me to do, I remember Tommy and how faithful he was in my life. And I want to be faithful in somebody else's life. Who are you holding up? Father, we love you. And God, I thank you for Tommy and those other men that you sent into my life who loved me in spite of me, and they loved me with the love that you gave them. And you gave them that love so they would share it, so they would love others with it, Father. And I was the beneficiary of the love that you gave them. I pray for all these folks here tonight. One, I pray that they know you, Lord Jesus. And if there's one here tonight that doesn't know you, I pray tonight they'd come to this altar and say, I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. I need my sin to be forgiven, because the Bible says you're faithful and just and you'll do that. And I pray for others who will come tonight just thankful that even in the midst of the junk of their life, you love them. And I pray for them. And I pray that they would come. I pray, Father, others would come and say, you know what? I've been so busy trying to hold all my stuff up that I haven't been holding anybody else up. May we share the love that you have so freely given us. And I pray that 2009, it would be a powerful year in the lives of our neighbors and our families and our co-workers and our homes, in our marriages, and in our friendships, because we will be willing to share the love that you have given us. So may we stand in awe, Lord Jesus, of what you have done. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I never would have come to you. And so you came to me. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.